on the other side of this test is everything you've ever dreamed, everything you prayed for, everything he promised you.
Today we're going to continue in our series we started last week called Destiny. We're discovering who we're meant to be. How many want to be the person God's called you to be? Do you believe that? I believe today in the heart of every believer, God has placed destiny in our spirit. And there's a longing for destiny. That's the same longing that says, you know, what is my purpose in life? Why am I created? And the older we are, the more we begin to even ask that question. I think sometimes we ask it when we're younger, but we misplace it, don't we? When we're younger, we think, well, if I can just get my education and get a degree, if I can just have a house, I can have a car. If I can just have a family, if I can just get married. All these things we put out there. If I can just get the title, get the promotion. And then you achieve those things and you realize, boy, there's still something not quite fulfilled in my life. There's still a emptiness there. What is that? It's destiny. Your destiny is calling you. Your purpose in life is calling you. Until you walk in your God-given destiny, you'll never see that longing fulfilled. And so we are talking about this, why we are created. I believe today that I'm looking across the room, I see a group of people with a destiny on their life. I see that people that God has handcrafted. You are handcrafted. You are God's masterpiece, as we read last week. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are God's Picasso. You are a masterpiece to God. You are a masterpiece to God. You are handcrafted, hand-painted, hand-formed by God. God had you in mind when before he ever created the universe. It says he had you and I in mind. I mean, we are special to God, and we are individuals to God, created in his image, in his likeness, but every one of us are giving unique callings, unique giftings, and together we come together to advance the kingdom of God. We are the body of Christ, and so we come together to form what God wants us to be and to advance the kingdom of God for our purpose here on earth. So we're discovering what that purpose is, and I'm here to say, I want to call it out of you. As your pastor, I see greatness in you. Let me say again. As your pastor, I see greatness in you. Every generation in here, I see greatness in you. And God is not done with you. God is not through with you. God is not ready to throw you away or put you on the shelf. He's here today to call you out of the place you are and say, get back into the race. I'm ready for you to do some things for me. I've got a higher calling. As I'm looking out across destiny today, I can tell you that many of you, God's calling you to a new season. God's calling you to a deeper season. And that for many of you, God's calling you into that season of destiny and purpose. I want to get right into the second part of this today. Let's go right into our text in 1 Corinthians 9:24. We're going to have a good time, but let's get right into it, man. And we're going to jump right into this race. All right. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Look what it says here. Don't you realize? Now, Paul's talking to us. Says, don't you realize in a race that everyone runs? So turn to your neighbor and say, you're running. Say, you're running for us? Whether you like it or not, you're running because it says that we're all running the race. Some of you don't even like to run, but you didn't know that today. But only one person gets the prize. That's the question. Is it only one person who gets the prize? So why not run to win? He says, if you're going to run the race, well, we're all in it, why not run it to win? You know, when I play my kids as they were growing up in sports, I did not take it easy on them. I didn't let my kids win. I didn't believe in letting my kids win because I knew, Jeff, there's going to come a time when they can beat me. That time's upon me now. They can beat me sometimes. Not very often, but they can get the best of that sometimes. And when they can't, they double-team me, triple-team me, whatever they need to do, but they can do it. And they like to get the best of that. And so when I was growing up, I was like, I know that day's coming, so right now, well, I can't. I'm going to win. You know, I wasn't a big fan of upward. Sorry to crash your bubble for the Christian organization. Everybody's a winner. You know, I was like, no, we're going to win. You know, let's play to win. And, you know, I was the only pastor to get thrown out of upward because he was too hard on the kids. But anyway, pray for me. I had a problem. I really did. God's really changing me. But I like to win. And we push hard. If we're going to play, we might as well play to win. That's all the way I look at it. You know, and I've always taught my kids, it's not always about winning, but you have to give your best. You have to give it your best. You got to give it your all. And if you do that, then you can walk away a winner. Really, you can. No matter what happens, when you give it your all, give it your best. That's all I ask. But if you're going to play the game, give it your all. And when you leave that court, when you leave that field, when you leave that competition, if you know you did your very best, you can walk away with your head held high, no matter what the results are, knowing I just gave it my all. Whatever, however the chips fall, they fall, but I've got to leave there a winner knowing that I gave it my all. And if I look in the mirror and realize I didn't give it my all, then I'm disappointed in myself. I can't blame my teammates. I can't blame my coaches. I can't blame my spouse. I've got to blame myself when I haven't given it my all. And so this is what Paul's saying. He said, listen, we're going to run. We're all running the race. So why not run to win? Why not run it to win? He goes, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So what? He says, well, if you're going to run, run with what? Purpose. Come on, say it. Run with purpose in every step. See, some people are running the race and you feel like, I ain't running. But sometimes you may be walking slow. You're taking step by step by step, but you're in the race. Sometimes you're running, sometimes you're stepping, but deal with purpose. See, destiny's calling me. I'm doing it with a purpose. I'm not just shadow boxing here, not getting anywhere, but I discipline my body like an athlete. Train it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Everybody runs. Nobody runs to lose, right? We don't run to lose. And we got to be disciplined in our training. See, many people want to be a star athlete, but not very many people want to pay the price. Have you noticed that? Everybody wants to be a star athlete, but not very many people want to pay the price. Many times when you watch the Olympics, you know, they happen every 4 years, the Summer Olympics, and the difference between those who finish with the medal and those who don't, many times comes down to 1/10 of a second. I mean, we can't even fathom that in our mind. Many times the difference between the people who receive a medal and those who don't comes down to 1/10 of a second. You know, and you think, is just that little bit more of training, would it push you that hard? When Landon was in ninth grade, he said, Dad, I want to start in 10th grade. It's my goal. I want to start for Webb City. They got a strong tradition. I want to be a sophomore starter. Not many guys do that, but I want to do that. I said, son, when you got to do it in ninth grade, but nobody else will do. And I said, when they had voluntary workouts, you be there. When they don't require you, you be there anyway. And he would show up, and I'd pick him up. He goes, I was the only one in my grade there. I go, don't lose heart, son. I said, coaches are watching, even when you don't know they're watching. And you keep pushing, you keep pushing. And the 10th grader, he made it as a starter. Why? Because he was doing things that nobody else in his grade wanted to do. When they had time to be taken off, they took off. It's voluntary. You can come if you want to. You don't want to. He was there. The other day, they called off practice. They had been going at 5:30 in the morning. They lift during school, and he has track after school. So they've been going at 5:30 to get some extra practice in, some extra workouts in. The coach got in late at midnight the night before for a game. He said, guys, take tomorrow morning off. We're not going to meet tomorrow morning. You know what he did? He gets on the phone. He gets four or five of his friends together, and they go down to the gym at 5:30 anyway and work out. Why? Because he's got a vision. He wants to play at the next level. He knows what it's going to take, and he's pushing himself to get there. You see, if you want to get to the next level, so you can't wait for somebody else to motivate you. You can't wait for somebody else to push you. You got to be willing to pay the price. And it's not always about, you know, it's not always about who's the biggest, who's the fastest, who's the strongest. It's about the person who will just push himself to finish the race. It's not always about that person. It's about the person who will push himself beyond where you're at. And for many of us here, I think it's really like this. I believe here that we are, I was thinking about this race, and you know, I was picturing it this way. And stick with me on this thought here, because I'm taking you somewhere. You know, one of the things I loved most when I was younger and working in athletics was that I had a chance to work Special Olympics quite a bit. And I love volunteering for Special Olympics. If you never have had a chance, an opportunity to volunteer for Special Olympics, I highly recommend it. It's one of the greatest days of your life. You go out there and you volunteer, and man, it's just a great organization, and you're helping so many kids out there. And what I love about the Special Olympics is this. That they get all lined up, ready to go, and you're out there helping them, you know, and the gun goes off, and they're running, and they'll be running down there, and then they turn around and see somebody's not running, their friend, instead of trying to be first, they go back, get the friend's hand, come on, and everybody else is out there, come on, let's go together, let's go, come on, and they're dragging each other, they're helping each other, and they're over waving in the stands, and come on, let's run together, and they're all running together. You want to know why? Because it's not about who finishes first. It's about all finishing. And to them, it's about We just finished. And so they want everybody to finish the race. They want everybody to run in the race. And I thought about that. And I thought, that's really the way we are. That all of us have handicaps. We have things in our life that have brought us down. The things in our life that maybe have wounded us. We have things that maybe are dragging us down. But it's okay. We grab each other by the hand in this race and say, no, it's not about who comes in first. It's about us all keep running and pressing together. That's who's going to win. Those who cross the line, those who finish the race, that's who wins the race. It's not about the person who got there first. It's about all of us getting across the line together. And so that's got to be the spirit of who we are, that we reach out to each other, grab each other by the hand and say, you may be limping, I'll carry you. I may have to push you. I may got to drag you sometimes, but we're going to finish this race together. Can I get amen? We reach out to each other. Let me give you some life truths, some things I've learned in life. Let me give you some real life truths here. Four quick things I want to give you. Number one, the Christian life was never promised to be easy. The Christian life was never promised to be easy. I know that maybe you heard some pastor tell you, you give your life to Jesus, everything's going to be roses. But Jesus made it very clear that in this world, we're going to have troubles. He said, man, they persecuted me, and they're going to persecute you for my name's sake. And so we're going to have some things that arise in our life. There's going to be times when we really got to fight through the problems in our life. There's going to be times when we got to choose to focus on the things of God. There's going to be a time when you got to choose to say, you know what? I'm going forward. I'm not staying behind. I'm going to get up. I'm going to finish the race no matter what. Because this life is not always going to be easy. Some of you, you love that. Oh, pastor, I love it. Worship's good. It's easy. It's easy in here. But when I leave here, my life falls apart. Why can't I just take the praise team with me every day? See, it's not always going to be easy. I'm just telling you that front. It's not always going to be easy. But listen to this. Number two, the person who doesn't give up but continues to do the right thing will eventually win. The person who doesn't give up but continues to do the right thing will eventually win. And sometimes you're doing the right thing. I've met people who say, pastor, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start doing things I know that God wants me to do. And then as soon as they make that decision, it seems like all hell breaks loose in their life. Like, I've been doing this thing for 2 weeks. Ain't nothing happening. Man, my life's going crazy right now. And I say, hold on. Hold on. Don't give up the race. You got to keep running the race because it's about the person who perseveres. Expect it. I've taught you that. Expect that when you make those decisions. Expect when you step out in faith. Expect that the enemy doesn't like that, and so he's going to try to knock you down in the race. He's going to try to hold you back in the race. So don't give up. No, you persevere no matter what because you know this in due season. God will come through when God's ready for you to do this next level. And listen. Win number three, winners have a better attitude. This is so true. Winners have better attitudes than losers. Isn't that true? Winners have better attitudes than losers. Isn't that so true? I mean, you show me someone with a bad attitude, and I'll show you somebody who's not winning. But winners have an attitude about them that just takes them to a different level. See, our life is full of choices. We can choose to have a good attitude. We can choose to get back up. We can choose to say, yeah, I've messed up. Yeah, I've failed. Yeah, I've had problems. Yeah, this has happened to me. Yes, this wasn't fair, but I'm going to get up. I'm going to choose to say, God, you've got a better destiny for me. God, you got something happening for me. And I'm going to choose to persevere and go after the things of God. I'm going to get back in the race. I'm going to run. I got to have the attitude that I'm not going to let people slow me down. Because number four, a bad attitude is a choice. Whether you realize it or not, a bad attitude is a choice, right? You choose your attitude every morning. You can't choose what happens to you many times, but you can choose how you respond. And I can choose whether or not I have a good attitude, or I can choose whether or not I'm going to have a bad attitude. Some of you have been choosing a bad attitude way too long. And God's ready for you to choose a different attitude. He's ready for you to get back in the race and quit making excuses and make an attitude a choice. I'm going to follow after what God wants for me. We have to choose the positive because we are running to what? Win. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm running to win. Come on, say it. I'm running to win. I'm running to win. And you got to choose to be positive because I'm running to win. I'm not running to lose. I'm not going to lose. I'm going to get up. As long as I keep going, I don't lose. Let me give you a shocker this morning. I don't always feel like doing the right thing. I know. It's hard to believe, right? Pastor Gene doesn't always feel like doing the right thing. Sometimes I have days like, I want to go out to the lake and be fishing today. I want to go out and do this today. Man, I gotta go, you know, and I have days like that too. I have days I have to say, no, I gotta be in the house of the Lord. Why? Because they're expecting me to preach that morning. So I gotta get up. I tell you, I don't always feel like doing the right thing, but I'll tell you this. I've noticed one. I promise you this, that when I come, I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to give you 125%. I'm going to bring it all, even when I'm having a bad week, even when I may have had things happen to me that was unfair, when I had things happen, whatever to make a difference to my life, when things, tragedy strikes, whatever. I'm going to bring you 125% every week. Why? Because I refuse to give up. I refuse to do anything less than say, God, I'm running this race to the fullest you have for me. I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to get up. I'm going to run and give it my all. I'm going to bring it every week. Why? Because that's what God wants me to do. See, let me give you something about attitude and choice here. A winner says this. Look what a loser says. A winner says, I have a plan. But a loser says, I have an excuse. Right? Winner always has a plan, and a loser always has an excuse why that plan won't work. Look at this next one. A winner says, let me help. A loser says, it's not my job. Some of you are feeling convicted right now, about now. It's all right. A winner says, let me help any way I can. A loser says, it's not my job. It's somebody else's job. Let them fix it. Let them deal with it. A winner says, I see a solution for every problem. A loser says, I see a problem for every solution. Anybody met somebody like that? Okay. Anybody married? No, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Okay. Get yourself in trouble now. Especially my wife. Please don't raise your hand, honey. Okay. I see a solution for every problem. A loser says, I see a problem for every solution. See, it's a choice how you see things. A winner says, I see the possibility in difficult situations. A loser says, I see the difficulty in every possibility. You notice the difference here. A winner is always looking for the possibilities, even in hard times. A loser will always see the difficult times, no matter what you're looking at. Look at this next one here, though. But a winner says, look how big my God is. A loser says, look how big my problem is. Notice the mind frame. When I put my attention on how big God is, my problems begin to shrink. My problems begin to fade. Whatever you stare at the most is going to grow in your mind and in your attention, right? When I stare at something long enough, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so why not just stare and say, God, how big you are. God, how great you are. God, how awesome is my God. And the more I put my attention about how good, how great God is, the problems in my life begin to get smaller and smaller and don't mean near as much as they were before I started that process. It's a choice, see? If I have a choice, I can get up in the morning worried and focused all about my problems, I get up and say, God, my trust is in you. I'm going to focus on you. And I have problems. I don't deny that. I don't deny I have things there. I don't deny that I have problems. But God, those things, I believe, will fall into place when I put my trust in you. When I get up and run the race and begin to do the right things, God, these things will fall into place. It's the difference between attitude. You have a choice. See, winning doesn't give you an attitude. Doesn't. Winning doesn't give you an attitude. Your attitude makes you a winner. Winning doesn't give you an attitude. Your attitude makes you a winner. And so you have to get up in the morning with a different attitude. God, I'm trusting you. God, you're bigger than my problems. God, I'm looking for the beauty in today. I'm going to find a solution in the problem. God, give me wisdom today to make the best of this thing I don't like. And as you do that, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you out of that problem. And things begin to happen. See, when people look at you, they should see improvement. When people see you, they should say, man, that person's attitude is improving. That person's work ethic is improving. That person's trust in God is improving. that person's spirit is improving. I can't always put my finger on it, but there's something different about that person. They're growing. They're improving. That should be at the heart of every believer. When people see us, they should see us as people who are running the race, that we're improving. But as I stated last week, too many of us are stuck in high school. Many of us, we peaked in high school, and the best days are stuck in college and high school, and you have nothing else to look forward to. I told you last week that many of you got Uncle Rico syndrome. Many of you laugh, but many people coming to me said, Pastor, what is Uncle Rico? Who is Uncle Rico? For those of you who don't know who Uncle Rico is, look at this short, small clip. You can tell what I'm talking about.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Watch this.
What the heck are you doing?
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, there you go.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over them mountains? Yeah, if coach would have put me in fourth quarter, we'd have been state champions, no doubt. No doubt in my mind. You better believe things would have been different. I'd have gone pro. In a heartbeat, I'd be making millions of dollars and living in a big old mansion somewhere. You know, soaking it up. A hot tub with my soulmate.
Tim, Drew said that was like living with my dad all the time. That's what Drew told me. No, he didn't. All right, today, this is comical, obviously, but really the sad truth that many of us look like this spiritually in our life. That many of us were like, you know, if this would have happened, if I got this break, or if this would have happened to me, my life would be so much different. We want to blame everybody else. Right? We won't blame everybody else for where we're at in life. We'll take no responsibility where we're at. In our best days, we're in high school, or our best days were in college. And we peaked there, and everything else has been downhill since then. You know, what a shame, because God never designed us to live our life that way. It's a race we're in, and we endure it. And man, we get the prize at the end if we keep running the race. And God doesn't want you on the sidelines. God doesn't want you in the stands. He wants you in the race. He wants you in the game. He wants you in doing something for Him, growing, improving. Don't be stuck for generation after generation. No, God wants to do something great in you. God wants to do something great in you. No matter what season of life you're in right now, God wants to do something great inside all of us. He wants our destiny to come forth. It's a choice. Look what Deuteronomy 30:19 says. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. It's all about choices. It's a choice. Am I going to choose life or death? Am I going to choose the things of God, the blessings of God, or choose the things that bring death, the curses? Am I going to choose the things of God that grow and fulfill, advancing the kingdom of God in my life and in others' lives? Am I going to be self-centered? No, I'm about advancing God's kingdom. No, I choose life. So that why? Because that you and your descendants might live. Man, what a bad example. If we're stuck in high school, stuck in college is our best years, what are we saying to our children? Life goes downhill from there. No, no. Life should always be an adventure. It should always be about stepping out and taking risks. It should always be about pushing yourself. Say, God, I want to go to the next level. God, I want to improve. God, I want to keep running the race. I'm choosing this for me. I'm choosing it for my children, for my grandchildren. I'm choosing it. Well, I don't know, Pastor. I just can't be happy. No. I just can't be happy. I don't care. I tried it. I can't be happy. Really, you can't be happy. Well, let me have, guess what? You've won a new car. Ah! You're all happy then, aren't you? I mean, it's a choice, isn't it? It's a choice. It's just a matter of perspective. I choose to be happy. I can't choose the bad that happens to me. I can only choose how I respond. How will I respond? I choose the attitude I carry every day. And your attitude affects you. It affects your children. Your attitude affects me. It affects the people sitting next to you. You represent the body of Christ. And when you go to work with a rotten attitude, a bad attitude, you represent all of us bad. When I do things that are bad, I represent the body of Christ bad. When you do things that are bad, we represent the body of Christ bad. We represent. We gotta do better. We gotta grow. We gotta learn from our mistakes and choose to go forward. See, your passion has to be greater than your pain. Your passion has to be greater than your pain. Everybody wants to be a champion, but very few want to work for it. Very few want to put in the time. Very few want to work and press and do what it takes. See, winners take responsibility for their problems. Adam started this in the garden. Adam, what happened? I don't know, God, but that woman you gave me. I didn't ask for her. You put me asleep, stole my rib, made this woman. And she went out and did this and ate of the fruit. I know it wasn't supposed to, but she did it. See, we pass the blame. Everybody else. It's everybody else's fault. No, winners say, no, God, I admit I need to change. I admit I take blame. And my passion, it's got to be greater than my pain. Even though it hurts, I'm going to push through this race. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to get back in the game. I'm going to get back in the race. The three Hebrew children, they had a choice to make. He said, either you bow to the golden image or you're going to be thrown in the fire. They had a choice to make. They could have said, you know what, we'll choose to stay alive. No, they said, we choose to do what is right before God. If God delivers us, which we know he can, we're going to stand strong. But even if he chooses not to deliver us, we still stand strong. It's a choice. It's an attitude. You see, right now, society and media, they're pushing all of us to make a choice according to what they want us to do, right? Everything's about their choice. Everything's about what they want us to do. And if we don't make the choice they want us to make, then, boy, we're out of date. We're out of touch. We're what's wrong with the world if we don't fall under their agenda. That's why we say this. We ask you to pray when you vote. We ask you to pray about things you do. Why? Because the most important thing is not about what the world wants. It's not about what the media says. The most important thing is, God, what would you want me to do? God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to support? I still got to line up there. And if you want to call me old-fashioned, if you want to call me out of date because I'm going to keep true to the things of God, that's okay, because I'd rather have God on my side than the world on my side. See, I'm choosing. It's a choice I make. God, I'm choosing to still follow after you. God, I'm choosing to stay strong to you. It's a choice. Our life is full of choices. Will I get up and run again? Or will I lay on the sidelines and watch the world pass me by? Will I get up and go after God again and minister? Get up, go! God's got a destiny. It's calling you out. It's time. Get up, go. God's got something for you. God's for us. Who can be against us? God is for you. We all like to win, don't we? But we don't like to run. We all like to win, but we don't like to run. It's hard. Many times it's hard. Hebrews 12:1, look what it says about running. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set. You know, isn't it amazing that when it comes to things going faster, it's all about making things lighter, isn't it? I mean, when they want cars to get better gas mileage, they want them to travel faster, they make them lighter, to make the parts lighter so they can travel faster. It's all about improving. Technology improves and things get smaller, easier to carry around. It's about improving the weight of things so that things can go faster. It's just what happens. Athletes run faster when they strip off weights. Say, cars get better mileage, they go faster when they strip off weights. If you're the person that says, everybody else is passing me by, could it be that you're carrying too much weight in your life? Could it be? See, we put on weights in our life and we have things. We have hurts that we put on. We have bad things that happen to us we put on. We have mistakes in our life and we put it on. We have failures in our life and we put it on. And pretty soon we're running around and we're carrying all this extra baggage. I'm trying to win the race. Do you ever feel like everybody else is passing you up? Do you ever look around in life and say, boy, everybody else is passing me up? Why is that? Could it be that you just need to drop some weight? Could it be you just need to drop some weight so that you can go a little faster? That's the way God designed us. He didn't design us to carry those heavy burdens. He said, no, cast your burdens upon me. He goes, take upon my yoke. It's much easier. I'll carry it for you. Give it to me. God says, give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. And so when that thing comes on my back and I'm strapping that thing on my back and I'm running, I feel the thing weighing me down. I come by and say, God, here you go. Boom. Drop it. Sprinting again. Why? Because I get rid of it. Get rid of it. Don't take it on and hold on to it. It slows you down. You know, I like the show The Biggest Loser. I've watched that show, and I don't usually watch the whole season, but what I like watching is the first episode and the last episode. I love watching the first episode, seeing the people before they get the transformation. And I love seeing the last episode when they had the transformation. Incredible. Incredible journey. And one of the things you see happening here is that people who just are really obese to the point where they need help and they're about ready to die. Their diabetes is out of control. Their blood pressure is out of control. Their heart rate's out of control. And like, this is my last resort. I got to get some help. And they sign up. They get approved for the show. And they get there and they do the weigh-ins and they weigh 450 pounds, 500 pounds. I mean, just really, really there. They really need a lot of help with their weight. And they'll take them, the trainers, the first day. First day they get them, they get them on a treadmill. All right, we're going to go on a treadmill for 20 minutes a day. Just going. 60 seconds into that show. They're going. All of a sudden, what happens? They fall off the treadmill. Their glasses are hanging down. Their arms are all sprawled out. And they go, I can't do it anymore. Oh, my God, I'm dying. I'm dying. Somebody give me a donut. I'm dying. I can't do it any longer. I can't do this. I don't know what I was thinking. I can't do this. And what does the trainer do? Does he come in there and go, oh, my Lord. Somebody get this man a donut. Please bring this man a donut. Bring him a soda. We need to get him back up. No. What they did, trainers get over them. They stand over them. They get right in their face. They go, you're dying. You are dying. If you don't lose this weight, your heart's going to give out. Your kidneys are going to fail you. Your blood pressure is going to give out. You're going to die if you don't lose this weight. Now get up and go 5 more minutes. Come on, you can do it. And they yell at them all the time. All right. And it's an amazing journey. They don't stop. Why? Because they know they just got to get up. And the hardest part is just getting started. The hardest part is just getting up again. The hardest part is just fighting through the pain. The hardest part is just following through for a few weeks. And once they start losing a little bit of weight and start seeing a little bit of results, they're like, yes, yes, I love the way this feels. And now they're coming in, you know, with their headbands on and they're, you know, singing. And they're like, yeah, I can't wait for my workout today. They're ready to hit it. Why? They're seeing results. And then at the end of the show, I love watching the end of the show. I tell you, I cry like a baby many times. I tear up. Why? Because people see themselves and they watch themselves transform. And see, they lost 100 pounds, 200 pounds. Like, I don't even know that person anymore. Who was that person? It was the person who didn't give is the person who decided to strip off some weight and get back into the race. Like, I'm living again. I'm doing things I could never do again. I'm experiencing joy again. See, some of us spiritually, that's the way we look. We just got to get back up. Get back up and get in the race. God's got a destiny calling you. Get back in the game. As the musicians are coming today, let me remind you, as I told you last week, God didn't give us a new uniform. He didn't give us the jersey to sit on the sidelines. He gave us the jersey to get in the race, to get in the game. God wants you back in the game. Sometimes you may have to take a step at a time. It's all right. Keep going. Choosing to be positive. Choose to think on the things of God. Choosing to believe the promises of God. If I persevere, I'm going to get there. Let me tell you this. As soon as you do it, there's going to be negative people coming your way. Negative people are going to tell you, you can't do it. No, you can't do that. No, you can't do this ministry. No, you can't do this for God. No, you can't do this. No, not you. Not you. No, not going to happen. And many times, there's people closest to you. Shut your ears off to negative people. Choose to get up every day and say, God, no, I'm just keeping my eyes on the prize. I'm going to fight through my pain. I'm going to fight through any negative comments. I know if I just don't give up, I'll begin to shed weight. I'll begin to get strong again. I'll begin to get my wind again. I'll begin to breathe again. I'll begin to get strong again. And next thing I know, I'm crawling, and now I'm walking. If I'm walking, I'm running. If I'm running, now I'm doing a marathon. I say, man, I've never felt better. Why? Because you didn't give up, and you got back in the game. So as your pastor today, I say, get back in the game. Get back in the game. Get in the game. Get up. Choose your attitude every day. God, I'm going to be positive. I'm going to improve. I'm going after you. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. How many today say, Pastor, I'm ready to strip off some weight, get back in the game. I'm ready to fight out, man, my destiny. Anybody here? Yeah, lots of people. Yeah. Destiny's calling you. Get in the game. Get in the race. Let's do it. We're going to close this song. The song says, there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And today I want you to see that, God, I'm breaking those chains. I'm stripping those weights off. I'm laying them aside. God, I'm going to fulfill my destiny. I'm not going to hold back on the sidelines any longer. I'm going to go, and I'm going to grab somebody else to go with me. I'm going to help others who need to go. We're going to run this race. We're going to walk this race. We're going to persevere. We're going forward. I'm going forward. I'm going forward. And I'm laying aside the weight in Jesus' name. Come on. Let's declare.
Come on. Let's sing it out. And there is power in the name of Jesus. And there is power.
Lift our hands to the Lord today. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're stripping off weights off your people today. God, I feel those weights being laid aside right now, being laid down. That God, you're calling people to get back into the race. You're calling people, God, who've been on the sidelines a long time. God, you're giving them fresh wind at their back. God, you're bringing healing, restoration. You're bringing a spiritual hydration right now. Father, the people right now who've been sitting still. God, you're calling us, God, as people of destiny. God, I thank you, God. I call out the greatness in every person in this room. The God-given greatness you put inside of them. Uniqueness, handcrafted, hand-called, but God. God, I speak over them right now. That God, we drop aside the weights and we run the race of destiny you've got for us. And we say together, amen. Come on, put your hands together and say yes to that. God bless you guys so much. We love you. Thank you so much for being here. Hey, pray about it this week. Who can I bring with me next week? Somebody else needs to be here on Mother's Day. Get your mama here. Get your kids here. We're going to have a special service next week. You want to miss it, okay? Surprise. Be here next week. God bless you.